Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today's Friday, August 14th. We're back with you. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Sam.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm in a good mood, even though I didn't get much sleep because hospitals again, you know.
Oh, wait, so you're in a good mood, but...
Because nothing. Oh. I just am.
Okay.
I think when I get little sleep, I'm more energized for some reason.
Interesting.
Right?
I guess.
I know. I don't believe it. But yeah. Yeah, that's so I'm energized. I'll catch up on some sleep over the weekend. How have you been?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yep.
Is your shower still scaring you, or are you okay with it?
I'm okay with it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is it still coming on, though?
It is.
Really?
Yeah, I have to talk to my landlord.
Yeah, talk to him. If he's anything like mine, it could take you a year to have it fixed.
Yeah, mine, it takes a while.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's not a speedy process.
I know. And I just tried to see how long he's going to keep on going if I just write him notes instead of calling, you know? So, yeah, I'm still waiting.
So you write notes instead of call?
Right.
How come?
I put it with the rent, you know,
okay.
So he doesn't forget. And so I have a record of it. But, yeah, obviously it hasn't bothered me that much.
What are the issues you're having in your apartment?
Well, it's the ducts for the dryer, you know, the air ducts for the dryer.
Mm-hmm.
So because the clothes don't dry quickly enough, I have to run like two cycles.
That means you use more energy.
Right, exactly. Plus, who wants to wait for the clothes so long? So, but I guess it hasn't been like a nagging thing. So I haven't done anything, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, but I'm going to call the guy and give him a piece of my mind today. So, so that's landlords for you, you know.
Yes.
But they raised my rent. So when I shorted them by $50 when I paid it, because I forgot the amount, the new amount.
Mm-hmm.
Man, he called me like, you know, left me a message. But he called me like 5 minutes after he picked up the check.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that they know. You know, that's how people are. When it comes to money, they'll find you.
Right.
You'll find them.
Yep.
You know?
It's true.
How ugly that is, man. You know, there was an argument on the on Facebook about why or whether we should have in God we trust on our money.
Mm-hmm.
And that became like a whole thing and stuff. And yeah, people are just like, everybody's got opinions, you know, everybody's got something.
Right.
And, but that wasn't my point. My point was, why did I bring that up? The In God We Trust? I don't know.
I don't either.
Yeah. Well, I guess, because I was thinking about money, and I was thinking that In God We Trust might be to reflect that we are also a spiritual country in addition to being capitalistic. You know, that was like my theory about it. But who knows? You know, people are saying, no, we're capitalistic. I'm like, okay, so is money a bad thing? You know, I mean, what's going on? You know, it's like, when did capitalism become a bad thing? You know?
Yeah.
Every country uses money and everybody puts on their money whatever they want.
Right.
And that's it, you know? I told, because he starts asking this guy, well, what if it said Allah or something? The guy that posted it or some other guy. Some other guy asked him, so what if they call, if they put Allah in there or something? And I wrote, I said, look, God is a universal term. It's not a specific religion or anything.
Yeah.
When people talk about God, they talk about the higher power, you know. So I don't know. What do you think? Have you ever thought about that? In
no.
God we trust on our money?
No.
I know. I never thought about it either.
But I would assume it's because when our currency was created, it was a more religious country back then.
Except... the thing is, they only added it in the 50s. They showed pictures of a dollar before 1950 and or the 50s and after that, and they only put it up there.
Well, was that to do with the wars that were going on then?
I don't know, but that's sure something to research, huh?
You should probably do that since you're so interested.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm going to spend my time doing that. but enjoy. Let us know.
I will. It's quite a mystery. But also, I mean, there's a lot of religious symbols in our institutions, you know, like I think Harvard University has like Hebrew letters in their, I think it's Harvard or Yale. They have like Hebrew letters in their logo. There's like the pyramid with the eye on our money. I mean, what's
that? It's a star.
It's a star?
Well, there is a star on our money that is like, it's like tiny. I don't know. My mom posted this. Because of course she would, but she's like, "Oh, Jewish everywhere." On one of our bills, in a circle, I think are like stars, but the stars like form a Jewish star.
Oh, I see, like a Star David thing.
Yeah,
really.
Like there's negative spacing.
Okay.
Where it, if you look at it, it actually forms a Jewish star.
Yeah, I guess if you put stars around in a circle, it would form that or something. Is that how? No.
No.
Okay. Well, what do I know?
But so anyway, there are religious symbols everywhere. I don't know why.
Yeah. Who knows?
But more exciting than that is the pecan pie M&M that's coming out for fall.
What is that?
A pecan pie M&M.
Oh, a pecan pie.
Yeah.
Pecan pie M&M. So that's the flavor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
It's not, it doesn't even have a pecan in it. It's just flavored pecan pie.
Right.
I don't know how they do that.
Right.
But so that's coming out for fall, which means that it's almost fall.
Yeah. So you're looking forward to that?
Yeah, I really love M&Ms.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I wonder what that would taste like. I'm looking forward to tasting
it. I'm going to sample them because I need to know if it really tastes like a pecan pie or not.
Do they have any other weird flavors?
Coming out? M&Ms? No, but it's like...
No, that exist already?
I don't know. They do like a dulce de leche one. It's like caramel. And then there's... I don't know. There's you know, the peanut. There's an almond. There's some crunchy one.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. But so everyone does like flavors for fall. You know how there's always like pumpkin spice lattes and things like that?
Right.
So I guess these M&Ms are
peanut. For the holidays or something? Oh, okay. Well, let's see what they're like. Who knows? Yeah. Oh, I thought Casey was here for the keys.
I know. Nope.
And we do have a special guest in the studio. We'll get to him in just a couple of minutes. I just wanted to bring this up. Did you hear about this Modern Family star, Ariel Winter? Do you know who she is?
Yep.
She had a breast reduction.
Yes.
And so I think this is interesting because she said it was hurting her. You know, in addition to the fact that she was getting a lot of attention and people thought she had fake boobs or something, so it bothered her. She's 17, but I don't know. I mean, they said that at 16 she blossomed to a 32F. I mean, yeah, that's a lot of weight to carry.
Yeah.
Right? For a tiny girl, too. I don't know if she's tiny, but you know, at 17... And so she went down to 34D. I don't know how much smaller that is, but it's not that much smaller, is it?
Are you interested because it's boobs? Or because she's
young?
No,
I'm interested in about the fact that she's famous and she gets a breast reduction when everybody else gets breast increase.
Gotcha. I was curious as to what part of the story was interesting to you. Because also it's kind of, I mean, the reason I think it's news is because she is so young and because we've seen her grow up over the course of however many years Modern Family's been on.
I see. You see, and that's why I didn't look at it that way because I never watched the show.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it makes sense, though, that she would have a reduction. And I think that the whole thing is that it's odd at 17 to have a reduction. Usually, as like an adult, you do that. But because she grew at the rate she grew and she... I mean, she's 17 years old. She shouldn't have what she has in terms of, like, you know, body size and back pain. And so I think that's smart of her to reduce and also to go from an F to a D. A D is still very large.
Right.
And so, I mean, you said you didn't know what that size was.
No. I just, yeah. Well, I meant that I didn't think it was a lot going from an F to a D.
It is, because an F is huge.
Really?
So, I mean, there are companies that don't even make F sizes for bras. So that's like you have to go to a specialty brand.
Right.
So
I can see how it would bother her having to carry.
Absolutely. I mean, I think truthfully, I think she should have, oh my God, stutter. She should have gone smaller, because at some point she might gain weight and they will grow again. She also might get pregnant. They will grow again.
Right.
So she'll also get stretch marks because she's so young and they're so big. I'm sorry. It's true. It is what it is.
Yeah.
So she probably should have gone smaller.
Yeah. Oh, well.
There's still time. I mean, there's no shortage of surgeries that can be done. So.
Yeah. I know.
Poor girl, though, has it all over the news. Like,
I know.
She's probably like, why are my boobs news?
Right. Right.
Who cares?
Well.
And it's for health, so.
Right. I don't know. I mean, people like stuff like that. Like I said, you know, maybe because of the reason that it struck me is because most people get enlargement rather than reduction, you mm-hmm. know, so it's kind of unusual.
I know a couple of people that have gotten reductions.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can't work out, you can't run, you can't do anything.
That's true.
Like, it's just uncomfortable.
Yeah. Okay. Also, before we get to our guests, I just wanted to ask you about this. What do you think, I guess a grizzly bear ate a person. And now this was in Yellowstone Park, so they caught the bear and put it down. Now my question is that the solution to kill the bear?
I don't think so.
Right. I mean, you euthanize an animal, why? Because it was being itself?
Right.
It was being a bear.
Right.
You know?
You can't ask the bear to, like, be polite.
Right, exactly. I mean, the people had no business being there if there's deadly bears there, killer bears, you know. So that's what I don't understand about people. The same with dogs also, you know. I mean, it's one thing. Well, okay, dogs are domesticated. They can be dangerous to people maybe.
Yeah, but a dog can also be trained.
Yeah. Yeah, and bears
there
are wild
solutions.
Animals, you know. It's just was looking for food. It ate. Why kill it?
I don't know. I don't think that's a proper solution as well.
Yeah, it's kind of revenge, you know.
So are they getting a lot of flack for that?
I don't know. I'm sure they do from some animal groups or something. Yeah. They captured the cubs and are transferring them to a zoo.
That's sad. I mean,
yeah, so they killed the mother.
That's
they
like,
killed the mother and then they...
Well, I think, yeah, then they have to take the cubs because then the cubs won't be able to survive.
No, obviously. But why would you kill the mother
right.
in the first place and leave them motherless?
That's their home.
Yeah.
People get out.
Yeah. I know. Well, you know, the questions and the things that people do. But, yeah, I don't know. All right, well, let's bring in our guest now. We have a musician here, Josh Stevens. Welcome to the show, Josh.
Hello, hello. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So you're a music man.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Really?
Yeah, I kind of do as much as I can, and if it comes out as music, most of the time people just say it's noise. But
yeah. Uh-huh. So what do you do? Do you sing? Do you you do a lot of different things with music?
Yeah,
right?
I do. Right now I'm singing. You know, I sing and I write. Over the years I've done producing and writing for a lot of people, mixing, engineering. I have a degree in engineering, so that kind of brought me pretty far in the industry initially.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, sort of like through the back door or something. Huh?
Yeah, in a weird way.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, definitely.
It's probably easier to break through that way than to break in through
singing
and stuff.
Yeah, actually I started out rapping, which is quietly bizarre. Yeah. I was in a rap group as a kid. Yeah, which is bizarre, right? That I'm doing that I'm doing pop music now. But yeah, so that's how I came in, and then I decided, you know, I should probably learn about all this stuff that I'm kind of touching and getting involved with. So then I went to school as an engineer, and that put me in writing sessions and different stuff. Learned how to write songs, and then, you know, just developed.
Right.
Yeah.
So was that music engineering or
music engineering?
Okay, so it's not like general engineering, like someone who would play
like,
and.
No, it was definitely specific to music.
I was
a huge music major in school and college.
I see. Okay.
And then I decided college isn't really for me.
Yeah.
So I decided to go to a trade school and just learn more exactly about music and music production.
Yeah, and that's why I was wondering, because usually people that are into music, creative people, they don't like school. You know, it's like they can't sit there for hours. You know,
I was the worst in you know growing up, I was considered like a slow kid.
Really?
Yeah, I had like ADD and super hyper and like, you know, and they always put me in these classes that they're like, well, I don't think you're going to go to college, so you could go over here. Yeah. Which is funny now because I write for a living and I you know, I do public speaking and all this stuff, and initially I was not slated to be that.
Really?
Yeah.
So were you kind of shy and stuff?
Or? I was super shy.
Really?
Yeah, I was like that kid like at prom that was like, I mean, I think there was actually one dance that I got invited to as a kid that my date, I picked her up in the car, put the little bustier on her, didn't see her ever again. Really? The rest of the night. Yeah, she was like the super popular girl, and I was lucky to like
to go with her.
I think I might have been a charity case or a dare or something, and that was kind of how I got that position. And you know, it's funny, I was just thinking about that the other day. I was like, oh, I wonder what that person's up to these days. You know, you always think about that.
Yeah. Well, you know.
That's what Facebook's for.
That's true.
I know, right?
Wow. So, so early on, you knew you liked music, right? I mean, did you think you'd be able to make a career out of it?
You know what? I just did it as more of a therapeutic thing, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah. I just would write and write about what I was going through as a kid. And that just kind of developed. I never really thought of like, oh, I can make a career out of this, or maybe I can do this, you know, on a high level. I just kind of just did it and did it.
Just wanted to do it, right?
Yeah, and then being from, you know, California and LA, Orange County area, I've always just been around it. Like, you know, my brother's a comedian, and then my other brother's a DJ. Like, we were all just like in it, you know. So you never
entertainment based family.
Yeah, you know what I mean. So we never were like, you know, I'm going to move to LA and I'm going to be a superstar. It was more like, hey, call so-and-so and see if they can put you and do something. And if you don't suck, maybe they'll call you again. You know, like.
Cool. So you were born here in LA, huh?
I was actually born in Fullerton, which is a little south of here. And then I grew up in Orange County, but pretty much grew up in LA as well.
Oh, nice.
Back and forth. You know, if you live in this area and you're born here, you're just here.
That's true. That's true, yeah. But Orange County is nice. So how did you end up here in LA?
I initially went for schooling, of course. I made my way up, which was like 30 minutes. It's not really like making your
Yeah, no.
You traveled so far.
Yeah, and then for a long time, I lived there for like the last 8 years. So I was commuting every day. I just moved to the Valley recently. And so this has always just been home, to be honest. Yeah.
Very cool. And so what was your childhood like? I mean, did you have did you grow up in Fullerton or in Orange County?
I grew up in Orange County, so I went to Mission High School. I did
right.
That
so you had a pretty good childhood there, right? I mean, it's pretty nice, well-off area, right?
Yeah, at the time when we were there, it was not what it is now.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, okay. They came out with a TV show a few years back. Was it Newport Beach or something? And it just like blew up about Orange County.
The OC.
The OC there was there.
The OC, right.
When we were there, it was like either farmland or, you know, you kind of were like in Santa Ana, which was a little hood, you know?
Wow.
So is that how you became a rapper?
I think so, which is really bizarre. Yeah, I think so.
The hood influence?
Yeah. Actually, which is really even more funny about that, is because what really put me in the music industry is Warren G. He's a good friend of mine. So he took me under his wing and kind of he put me in like the LMFAO circle and put me in all these things, which is weird because I'm a pop singer now, you know, rolling with these guys that are just legends of rap.
That's cool. And so you were influenced by that music and everything growing up.
Yeah.
And so rap was the first, was that the first music you started singing or did you?
I think it was. My parents were huge into music. You know, they had the vinyls. I would go and dig through their huge boxes of vinyl.
Right.
Which is great. I was like, Ma, do you still have those? Now we can sell those and make some money because it's popular again. And she's like, I don't know. I think they're melting in a storage bin or something. Like, you know. So as a kid, they had like everything, the Beatles, the Who. Pink Floyd. So I listened to all that stuff, but I definitely gravitated towards hip hop, not purely because of the rap, but I liked the honesty of it. Like I liked positive hip hop. So yeah. I liked the storytelling. I liked how words were manipulated and fit into structures and stuff. I think as a kid I was naturally a writer, so I just gravitated towards that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Now, what's the difference between hip hop and rap?
Well, doing pop now, I'm not the ambassador of hip-hop, so I don't know the difference.
But you should know, right?
I think, in my opinion, I think hip-hop is more your traditional, you know, rapping for a reason. You know, you're hip-hop, you have positive vibes. It's It's a certain sound. Rap is more commercialized, a sense of, like, you know, just commercialization of it.
Right. So, you know? I mean, can you, I mean, by listening to a song, can you, like, categorize it as hip-hop or rap? I mean,
there's, I mean, just like any genre of music, there's, you know, divisions within a certain genre of music.
Different shades of gray or something.
Yeah, 50 shades.
Only 50 shades. Okay.
I don't know. Maybe that plug for some reason will get us more hits.
I set myself up for it.
It's too weird, two guys saying that to each other, to be honest. It might be a little strange. No, I think what it is, of course, rap is the actual physical aspect of what you're doing in hip-hop.
The music, right. And you think maybe hip-hop is like a lifestyle or something?
I think so. I think
more than just
like
the music.
It's like a culture.
Right.
Yeah, rap is just what you physically do.
Right. Yeah. As far as the music itself.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Do you remember what the first rap songs were?
Like in
way
general?
Back when, when rap just started.
Oh, man.
Were you even around? I mean, you're pretty young.
Probably not.
Right. Because I can tell you in the 70s, they started the song Rapper's Delight.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty much considered like the first rap song out there. And by a group called Sugar Hill.
Yeah.
And that was a classic. It still is, you know. It's like a 14-minute long song, and they say just about everything you could think of, you know, but it's a clean song.
I think the first rap song that I was like, that I went to the cassette deck, which that's dating myself as well. Everybody, I'm not that old.
No.
Go buy the record. No, I'm just kidding. No, so I went over, and I think the first one that I actually had, you know, because there was no internet.
Right.
That I went was like Crisscross, that I was like, hey, I really love this record. And my friend was like, hey, I have two cassette decks. You can record it and then take a version.
Yeah.
And I was like,
that's how we used to do that.
You know, or it was on the radio and you'd wait till that special song is. I think there's a couple that I still never found out who the actual artist was.
Yeah.
You know, when you're listening
to it.
You
can Shazam it now.
I know, I probably.
Yeah.
But then it takes the mystique away. Maybe I'll never know.
Right. No, I know. This used to happen to me because my dad sometimes would come to America when I still lived in Israel as a kid, and I would ask him to bring me some music. So he bought me like a tape deck with a radio in it, and he just let it run and record like New York radio. And I was just so blown away by it. Mm-hmm. And there were like some songs that I liked, but I never heard before.
Mm-hmm.
And I never knew who they were by, you know, until years later. So that's funny, you know, I mean, that you mentioned that.
Yeah, you know,
and
it's funny.
We would sit by the radio and wait till the song came and then, bam, press record. And sometimes the DJ would talk over the beginning, the intro, and you'd be really pissed.
Because then you would go to show that song to somebody and think, oh, I've heard the song, but who's talking?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how much times have changed, huh?
Jeez, it's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
It's mind-blowing.
I mean, today's young generation, they think that music is free, you know, that it should be free. And that's why, you know, I mean, because they grew up like this with Napster and everything. So they're like, what do you mean I'll pay for music? But when you think about it, what's 99 cents per song, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you buy 100 songs, it's $100. Okay, but I guess young kids don't have that kind of money. But still, I mean, when I wanted a record when I was young, I would save up money and go and buy one.
Yeah, I think it's just a... Me too. I think I would go down to the Blockbuster Music.
Right.
You remember those?
Specs.
Or Warehouse.
Yeah.
Remember Warehouse? I remember when they closed the Warehouse in my city and I was like, oh, I think it's now like a Rite Aid or something.
Yeah, probably. Everything became Rite Aid, it seems, you know.
Are they a sponsor of the show? Like,
no. Yeah. Well, they closed down bookstores and made them into Rite Aids too. So, yeah, it's unfortunate, you know, all that stuff is gone.
Yeah. It's just a new era. You know, these kids, you know what's great, though, is on the positive side, is there's a bigger audience than ever before.
Right.
Like, the world is hearing music at a pace that's just beyond we've ever seen.
Right.
You know,
but there's also a lot of competition. Right,
yes.
To stand out.
Yeah, it takes so much more. It's a kind of a catch-22 because everybody can put out music. It takes a lot more to get above the noise or like to be seen. Where back in the day, you know, or back in the day, back when, you know, labels kind of and the record industry would filter you through. You know, so they'd be like, okay, we think this is the best of the best. This is the best you'll find. Right. So we'll put it out as like an industry.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that just really doesn't exist. It still does to an extent, but the internet has just changed the game 100%.
Yeah, completely, huh? Yeah. So how do musicians make money now if most people download for free? I understand it's more like live performances where people make the money, right?
I always say don't quit your day job. No, I'm just
kidding. No, right? I know what you mean. Yeah.
It really is. It's tough out there. It's a representation of the economy we're in general.
Really?
You know, it's just a representation, yeah.
Yeah.
Because when things are really good, if an artist is creative with their figuring out how their fan base reflects and kind of will adapt to them, mm-hmm. and support them, they'll support them. It just has to come in different ways.
Right.
It's not going to come in the aspect of, I made a song, now exactly pay me for the song. It comes in a different form.
Right.
Like, songs can be used in movies and like TV shows and stuff, so it's just different, right?
Right. Yeah. And then if you succeed on YouTube, you could monetize that too, right?
Yeah, there's monetization, there's streaming, there's movies, TV, but there's nothing like... nothing better than live performances now.
Yeah.
People still love a live show, and what people are doing now is so creative. Like, some of these DJs with the huge pyrotechnics and this, you know, synced up light show, for me, it'll probably give me a seizure. But that's why I look out to the audience. I don't look at the stage.
Really?
But that's how you be creative in what they're doing at like EDC and these huge festivals. I love that there's so many huge festivals now.
Yeah.
Before, they didn't really have that. You just had to go to like concerts, like smaller venues.
Right. Or they had like raves for a while and stuff.
Raves, yeah. Oh my gosh.
With the DJs and stuff, man. Those were crazy. So you write your own music, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you always have.
Yeah.
Lyrics and melody?
Yeah, I write both. Usually it'll start from a piano. I mean, sometimes I like to write sometimes with one or two people just to bounce fresh ideas, you know. But for the most part, I write a lot of it myself, and then we'll play it, and we'll bring in like one of my guitarists, like Jason Valverde, who played on the record, and he'll play some guitar and lay it down, and we'll kind of come up with some ideas. But I like writing records that are just truly honest.
Yeah.
So whatever the mood is. Can come through and speak through the music, but it's really about the story for me.
Yeah.
Your new album, right? Mm-hmm. You have, it's about a girl.
Yeah.
The whole thing. It's about what?
Well, it's about a fictional girl, but,
okay.
But it's definitely about a time period in my life when I came out of a really bad relationship.
Oh, gotta hear those songs.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like about that time frame, about the summer after it happened. And, you know, for most people in long-term relationships or in relationships, there's like two things you can do after you come out of a relationship. Either you're like, I'm just going to take it easy. I'm not going to see anybody. I'm not going to do anything. Like, kind of get closed off.
Right. People do
or
that.
You can just go absolutely nuts, right, and like date a bunch of people and just wild out. And so this album is definitely about that. You know, it has like that time when you're just kind of like running through one night stands, you know, and then you're kind of like, this is kind of dark. You know, I think I need some light in my life, you know. And so, you know, there's a point when you're like, that wasn't so great. And, you know, and then so the record is basically those aspects all the way through the story and the timeline of the album. And it was a time in my life where I learned the most about myself and got to grow. And you know, I'm not one of those people that truly reflects too much. I just like to look back and be like, what did I exactly learn, not dwell, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what it's about. It's those stories. You know, it's not particularly about one person. It's about just the whole situation.
Right. So just relationships in general and breakups and things like that.
There is a song called Anna, but it's a fictional character. But okay. It's basically about the environment of those one-night stands. You know.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
And how many tracks do you have on your record?
This one is five. So it's an EP, yeah.
Okay.
And we have in the spring and next year we'll release the full version, which I'll have, you know, we haven't decided how many we'll have yet. But
yeah. But I think at this day and age, it's not that important to have like 12 songs on the CD, right? Because people often buy just the singles anyway. And so it's hard to put in fluff anymore, where that's what they used to do in albums. They put a lot of songs that are just garbage,
mm-hmm.
just to have 12 songs or 10 or 12 songs on the record.
Yeah.
And nobody would listen to them anyway. So now nobody's wasting anybody's time. You know?
Yeah, I think what is interesting now is that the singles, there's more things that go into it. Like, you have a lyric video, you have a music video, you have that's like a true. T-shirt line for each song. So like, you should have five for five songs. And yeah, that just takes way more effort than before. It was just like, okay, here's one image, here's one song, here's 12 songs that go along with it, and just push that one image forever.
Right.
You know, like, yeah, and maybe we'll do a music video if they buy the single. You know, yeah, what I mean? And that was kind of the model for so long, but it's completely changed, you know, yeah, the internet. And people crave different stuff now. They crave such visual things. And that's just where we're at in the world, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's listen to some of your music. Why don't you go ahead and introduce us? Now, Hilltop, is that your latest
song? Yeah, so Hilltop is the one we just put out. So there's a lyric video for it. It features my good friend Spencer Ludwig, who's best known from Capital Cities. They're a pretty good-sized band.
Wow.
I really appreciate their music and him. He's an amazing artist in his own right. So he hopped on it, and I was super stoked. And
yeah, so he does what? He sings?
He actually sings. He does the trumpet. So we had this weird idea where I was like, even though he is a singer,
right,
but in Capital Cities, he's like the main trumpet player. Like, if you've ever seen their shows, he's like the dude, you know? Mm. And it's really great. And so I was like, I'd love to have like a different kind of feature than normally, where you'd normally put like, you know, a vocalist. And I was like, let's put a trumpetist. And let's just kind of make his own section, you know, like how it would drop in. And I pitched him the idea, and he was like, yo, I love it. Let's do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I think he was in somewhere on the road, and I sent it to him. And then he hopped on it and recorded it in his hotel room, sent it back. And then when he came to L.A., we've been writing a few records for his solo record.
Wow, so very cool.
Yeah, it's been really good.
So let's listen to Hilltop. It says featuring Spencer Ludwig, of course. And we're listening to Josh Stevens. So I imagine you do the main singing on the
song. I am the singer.
You're the singer.
So no bad comments, please.
Yeah, no bad comments.
I take it personally.
We'll only give you constructive criticism.
We'll
shut up altogether. If we don't say anything, you'll know we didn't like it.
Sam comes in like a wrecking ball.
Josh Stevens.
Times you're on my mind, with all the places that I've seen, you're so beautiful, never let you go. And when you close your eyes, I'll be by your side. Critics say, for you I'm acting great. Light bulbs explode, we make content. What we got goes on and on. I got what you want, you got what. We'll be right back.
Hilltop, Josh Stevens. Wow, what a song,
man. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you.
I love it.
Very catchy.
Oh, thank you. It is,
and the great beat and everything. You know, I like upbeat songs.
Yeah, actually, my friend Drew Hessler played drums, and, you know, he's best known for the Foo Fighters.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that little band?
That little band. Yeah. You know what I mean? They rock pretty hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did a pretty good job on the drums here. I really liked it.
Yeah, I went to his house. It was really funny when we made it. We went to his house. He's like, yeah, yeah, I like this song. He's, like, super, like, energetic. He's like, I like this song. He's like, let's do it. Just bang on the drums. It's like, it's good. I'm like, it's good. All right.
So now, when you go to the drummer, how do you present the song? Do you have like a drum machine as a demo for him, or do you just bring him the song without any drums?
You know, it kind of changes every once in a while. I think on this one, I had kind of like programmed out some ideas,
right.
And then I think what happened, I was just basically said, "Do you?"
Yeah.
I said, "Hey, you know, do whatever you think you would do naturally." And he did that, and I was like, dude, you're amazing.
Yeah. So this song you wrote with a piano?
We wrote this one on guitar. So my friend,
it's
Alex.
It's not really a piano song.
Yeah, definitely guitar.
You need the beat and everything. Yeah.
I play guitar enough to have someone else come in and play it better.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, is that good? Yeah, we're good. Okay, you play it.
Did you mention you also play the piano?
I do. That's like my main instrument. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
That's my main thing.
So, yeah, I'd like to hear some. So you probably write like ballads and stuff too, right, with the piano?
Yeah, I have a few ballads. I think we're going to have one come out. It might be online called The Boulevard, which is a super slow ballad about growing up on Hollywood Boulevard as a musician, you know, that experience.
Yeah.
So I think it's somewhere online. It's an old record that came out like a few years ago, but that's probably the most ballady one I have.
Yeah. So what was the experience like?
Oh man, I think I've played every crappy venue that is available.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I literally grew up, like, we would play like you know, like little shopping malls. You know, they have those little water fountains.
Right.
You know, so I would like sit outside a little water fountain and like bring my little speakers and I would just play that way, or like coffee shops, or like I think one day I played, or a couple times actually, we played farmers markets.
Oh,
but
cool.
Like really,
like small ones.
Small ones. I think literally, you know, the Ralph's right here off, is it Woodman or whatever?
Hazeltine. Yeah, the new one?
No, the old
one. Oh, so that's called Water Canyon.
Yeah, cool. I literally, they used to have a farmers market there in the back.
Oh, really?
Like behind it. It was super, super interesting. And I set up some colorful lights, and we would play, like, that's how I came up, you know. You just play wherever, whenever, and then, you know, you kind of build your way up.
Yeah,
you know, earn your stripes.
Also, I'm sure it helps to know people from being from LA, like knowing the people.
Yeah,
you
would be surprised though, because a lot of people kind of like to like play the fence a little bit. So you may know somebody, but that doesn't really mean that they're going to be like, I'm putting my career on the line for you.
Right.
You know, like, it's very much like, hey, I know you. You know, we're friends. Go do what you do, and then you just kind of have to prove yourself.
Yeah.
You know, friends are friends. It's really about what the public thinks. If the public likes it, if the rest of the country and the rest of the world resonates with it, friends are just friends.
Right.
They're supportive. You know,
that's true.
Yeah. But one thing that is, you know, a benefit is just being immersed by great people, like the best of the best, and that you can't really get anywhere else, in my opinion. LA does have that.
That's what they say. You know, you need to surround yourself with people that are smarter than you, better than you, and it makes sense. You know,
that's how you grow, because you have something to aim for.
I'm definitely the dumbest in my group, to be honest, which I guess is a great thing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, the problem is finding someone who's smarter than you.
Is that
always the case? I don't know.
Yeah, what's the
who
judge?
Wants to admit that somebody else knows more than they do? I don't know.
People with humility.
Yeah. Don't have much of that. I don't.
Yes.
Yeah. So you played some dive bars, but you also played some, some of the major?
Yeah, we've played, over the years, we've played some major stuff. I was fortunate to go on the road with LMFAO and be a part of that whole project.
Really?
Yeah, wow. So.
And they split up, right?
Yeah.
Okay, just.
Oh my gosh. I'm waiting for VH1 to eventually call me for behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Because that band, has some. Some stories.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was a great experience, though. Everybody is super, super love. It's great. You know, we talk, like the band and I talk a lot. We go to lunch a lot. Like, few of the players. And,
nice.
But yeah, the two main dudes are off doing their hiatus. And so there it's great. You know, we traveled the world. Redfoo, the guy with the big red hair, you know, he brought me into the project to do the records and finish records. And it was really weird. I show up at his house. Just, you know, this is before it's like LMFAO. It was like some band, you know, that nobody really cared about. Right. And he calls me up, or his management calls me up and was like, hey, you know, there's this guy, there's this band, are you interested to meet? And I was like, okay, you know. I usually just say yes, you know, to most stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, no. Back out after you heard what's going on. No, but so he calls me up and I go to his house. And I don't know who this dude is. I don't know what they've done. I have no idea who they are. And I show up in the studio, and he's in his Speedo. That's it. Just straight hair and Speedo. And he's like, what up, man? He's super, like, energetic as well. He's like, what up, man? I'm like, oh, what up, man? And he was like, so they say you do things. You make, like, make beats, and you do these things. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's like, so you do drums? I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's like, I love drums. I'm like, cool, me too. And we just talk about drums for, like, an hour, which is bizarre, you know? And we're sitting there. Mind you, I'm having a full conversation with a grown man in a Speedo, who I've never met before. So in his house,
and that's funny.
And so he was like, cool, so what does your schedule look like? And I'm like, I'm pretty open, you know. Yeah. He was like, all right, do you have a passport? And I was like, yeah, I have a passport. He was like, cool, so do you want to go to Canada and Japan with us?
Yeah,
tomorrow. And I was like,
what? So you obviously went.
I said, yeah, let's do it. And so, you know, we came in, we did a bunch of sessions, we did like Pitbull, and we did all these other crazy cool artists. And we just worked on the record, and then we hit the road. And it was weird because I was an engineer for them. You know, that's how I started. So yeah. I was doing like live sound, but then I was helping them with the finish the record and make sure it sounded great. And then all of a sudden, you know, that came about. And then Sky started doing his own stuff because they would tour separately as the records just blew up. Because that was crazy being a part of a band that was so like huge. Because it went from like literally, I think at one point we had a meeting where they were like, so everyone's not going to have a job to... Okay, there's 100 people on the road. We're making, you know, there's music everywhere. The world loves it. And that was bizarre to be a part of. And when that happened, you know, they both started doing their own thing. So I started touring with Sky, who's the other member, as his DJ and singer. And then he started a production company, and I became an artist and a main producer. So I had like a tour bus with a studio in the back.
Cool.
And, yeah, we would perform and do different cool things. And, you know, that was great. That was like a great part of my life. And then so we did like, we were part of like Wembley and like all these crazy shows. Whoa, stadium really? Shows all over the US. I think I literally played every single club in the United States at that point. You know, it just becomes one big blur, like a flashing light after another flashing light.
It's better than those water fountains.
Yeah, I respect the water fountain game though, because after a while I was like,
go back to your roots.
Go back to the roots. Yeah, exactly. And it was crazy, you know what I mean? It was everything you could imagine a superstar band being like.
They're huge.
People arguing, people fighting.
Why didn't they film that?
We did.
Where is it?
I don't know. Somebody has it. I signed my rights away, so I don't know where it's at. You know what I mean? But I think it showed so much craziness that the networks and everyone's like, I don't know what we're going to do with this.
Right.
But it was absolutely nuts. I think there was one time when we would go, like Sky loved to like really rearrange hotel rooms. That's how I'll put it. So we'd go, like, there was this one night we went to like a toy store, and we bought like these little stuffed animals, and we set up this net, we moved the furniture around, and we played like dodgeball within the hotel rooms. You know, we would throw pizza off of balconies and people would catch it like five stories down.
Oh my
in
god
mouth.
I was gonna say, why would you waste good pizza? That hurts.
No, they eat it. We
good. As long as you catch it and eat it, fine.
Yeah. So it's like every crazy thing, girls, parties, just absolutely nuts.
So they live the life they like sang about.
Every bit of it. Like, that's one thing for sure that I can say about that band is it was legitimate. It was legitimate.
Wow. I run to their music.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's a good beat for running.
Oh, yeah, we're appreciative.
And I'm like, I feel like I'm dancing. I'm like having a party on the treadmill.
Yeah, it was crazy. I think the weirdest thing was that life was so like that. And then all of a sudden when it blew up, there was like little kids that were showing up to concerts.
Oh.
And you're like, whoa, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Because you go from doing like clubs and all these crazy environments, and then like kids love it. And, you know, for me, that really opened my eyes on you know, who actually gravitates towards music. And, you know, I kind of now take great responsibility in that.
Yeah.
And, like, take it very seriously.
Very cool. Yeah, because it is mostly young people, you know, that are drawn into this, into the music. So now, if people want to hear any of your hip hop music, is that available online that people can?
You have to search for it.
You have to search for it.
I'm not going
to
give it away. I'll let
from people your
go.
Rapping days.
Yeah, actually, I love my rapping days. So, but yeah. I'll let people go search for it.
Okay. Well, if you're searching, it's Josh Stevens, Stevens. And do you have a website?
Yeah, it's just I am Josh Stevens. So I think that's all the social media, you know, the Instagrams, the
right,
Twitters.
They're all here.
You know, you can find them all.
Yeah, all the links here. So I'm sure probably on YouTube you might have some. Do you have other songs there?
There's a couple songs. There's an interview from like right after the LMFAO days. You can check that. It's like an EPK. It tells like kind of the story and where everything is going, so you can check that out. And then there's another video that we put out like a few years ago with my good friend Lisa D'Amato, who won America's Next Top Model. So we edited a video with her and a song, and you'll find us just arguing in it, which is great. She hit me with a really hard pillow hit to the face.
Really?
And it's very caught on there. I actually, after the take, I was like, oh, that actually really hurt, Lisa. And she was like, I'm an actress, you know, and she takes it very seriously.
Yeah, very cool. So I see there's a few videos here if you people want to go to hear some of the other stuff. I got to give it to you, man. I mean, Hilltop, you already have 28,000 listens.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It's great. PopCrush.com debuted it, which was very unexpected. Uh-huh. And, you know, a few of my friends and Naima Mora from America's Next Top Model, she tweeted it out, and a bunch of people too started tweeting it out, and we're like, you know, I'm really stoked that people are gravitating towards it. You know, the video was done by my friend Matt Champagne, who's he's actually part of a band called Island Apollo, who's a great band, but he's like an insane art director and like music video director.
Right.
So he did the project. He was like, I sent him the song. He was like, yo, I have this idea. I was like, cool, do your idea. You know, whisper it. I love it.
Yeah.
And he came back. He's like, here it is. I'm like, you're amazing. Just do that.
Yeah. Huh?
And so he did the cover art. He did, you know, basically the whole look and feel. Of course, if you go to the pictures of me, so you know, come on.
Yeah, there you go.
The subject really always is the focus. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, Josh, anything left that we didn't cover that you want to include real quick? I mean, do you have any upcoming performances or anything?
Yeah, we're gonna. There's a few big shows that are coming out. Once we get when they're gonna actually be posted on all the online stuff. We're touring some dates with Naima Mora, so we have a few singles, so she's doing some tour dates. I'm touring with her, so check that out. And be sure to check out the EP when it comes out, which is slated for end of October. So, you know, we're gonna do a whole big release party, and you know, the public's invited, so it's gonna be kind of nice.
Very nice. Yeah. Okay, and everybody go out and get the song Hilltop. Josh Stevens featuring Spencer Ludwig, and you guys can find that on SoundCloud. Apparently a lot of people are listening to this, so it's a cool song.
Yeah,
it's a cool song.
Thank you,
Josh. Thank you so much for joining us.
We appreciate you. Sure. I appreciate you, but my team who does all this stuff with me appreciate you guys as well.
No, it's a lot. You're definitely a lot of fun and good music and everything.
Oh, thank
so
you.
Keep up the great work.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Sure. And when you're big and strong and rich, don't forget us.
Oh, duh.
Okay.
It's the music
business.
You'll
have to come back. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, like don't expect too much. All right, Josh. Well, Josh Stevens, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Jen, have a great weekend.
You too, Sam.
Thank you, Jen.
See everybody on Monday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.